The beautiful state, and it's good to join Dr. Box and Dr. Weaver again as we close out this year, and what a year it's been. We've had our ups and downs in terms of our public health, but we started the year with a successful rollout of the first COVID vaccinations and got off to a great start with rshot.in.gov, getting citizens the information that they need to make safe decisions. There are more treatments now than there have been in the past to help folks who are ill with COVID, and there's more coming soon. Clearly, Hoosiers have more information. They're better equipped to make those safe decisions than certainly the first year of COVID-19. But we continue to get some curveballs thrown at us. And I'm thinking of variants specifically, thinking of Delta and Omicron, and that have both crisscrossed the globe, crisscrossed the country, crisscrossed Indiana, and really taken a couple hard whacks at our populations. It's challenged our recovery efforts for sure. There's no way around that, but thankfully, our heroic healthcare providers and our hospital networks, those who are caring for the folks who are sick, and I have to say, today, in overwhelming numbers in terms of unvaccinated folks who are sick ending up in the hospital, more so than certainly ever before. I also want to say just at the outset here that there are not enough eloquent words in the English language for me to say thank you to those individuals who complete shift after shift after shift, who have been doing this for going on two straight years now, who are saying prayers for people at their bedside, for all that our healthcare workers, nurses, doctors, assistants, everyone that's had a hand in helping us navigate day after day after day. I want to say thank you, because you have gone way up and above and beyond over and over and over again. I know how tired you are. You're making a huge difference, one family at a time. And for the life of me, I struggle to think about how some folks trust certainly the most lethal virus that anyone living today has been most anyone who's living today who's been exposed to, that's had a strangle grip on the world, how you would trust your ability to fight that off instead of trusting an American-made vaccine that has proven overwhelmingly statistically that is saving lives, that has been administered 500 million American doses, mm-hmm. over 9 billion worldwide. I mean, these are the facts, and I'd like to say I rest my case, but we have more work to do. And I will say, in the upcoming year, I will try to do my part to connect with folks who are trusted for those skeptics, because it just pains me to learn of these stories of folks who learn through negative reinforcement when the positive reinforcement will not just save lives, but it'll help us together get through this safer and quicker. I also want to single out two people sitting to my right and to my left, Dr. Box and Dr. Weaver. I think of them as my Patton and Bradley, because they approach this as like a warlike effort. And they are two of the, and I think Hoosiers have gotten to know this themselves, but they are two of the smartest, toughest, most compassionate people that I've had the privilege of working with and personally knowing. And that extends to your teams that you've built. But the way that you have also approached every single day with a servant's heart, even with so much difficult information coming in very early in the morning, very late at night, day after day after day, now going on 2 years. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
And it's because of that that I am optimistic, and I do look forward to another year working together. There are so many topics. I won't belabor my gratitude, but so many topics to go over today, including the current state of the pandemic in general, but also our inventory levels, changes in quarantine protocols, treatments, some new that are coming online. How do I get it if I need it? Where do I get it if I need it? And so I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to share. I also want to take one thing off the table, if I could, before we get into it, and just let you know that I did sign an extension of the state's public health emergency and emergency order. So Aaron, if you haven't hit send, please hit send. I have signed that. I'll continue to work with the legislature and the leadership there on my three concerns, those having to do with the enhanced federal funding for Medicaid, SNAP benefits, and then, of course, allowing Dr. Box, our state's health commissioner, to serve as our statewide ordering physician for those who choose to be vaccinated, including children five and older. So that has been extended. Obviously, given the latest surge that we're experiencing right now and the impact that it's having on our communities throughout the state of Indiana, that's it's no surprise that the public health emergency needs to continue. And finally, as this year ends, this is something I alluded to in the past in various venues, but one of the more challenging things or difficult things is dealing with misinformation or disinformation about the virus itself, COVID-19 specifically, and how we make decisions here at the state. And so I do want to acknowledge just the important role that data plays in our daily lives, not just ours, I'm not talking about ours, but ours as a state, and the number of citizens, hospitals, schools that rely on that data integrity to make wise decisions, and all that goes into that, whether it's Fairbanks or Regent Street or the Department of Health itself or hospitals or schools, this has been invaluable, and we have sought to be transparent from day one. This is the epitome of building the airplane in flight from the ground up and putting out. We just feel like the more you know, the better off we all are. And folks should have a high level of confidence that the data that the state of Indiana puts out is accurate. Whenever you build an airplane in flight, if I have erred, if we have erred, we'll own it, we'll admit to it, we'll fix it, and we will move on. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how we'll continue to conduct ourselves over the course of the next year. And with that, I will turn it over to Dr. Box for your full report. And I see various pages there, so it is a full report.
Lots to talk about, sir. Yes. Thank you so much, Governor, and good afternoon, Hoosiers. A year ago, we came to you to announce the arrival of the first COVID-19 vaccines. Even though they were in limited supply initially, the development of a safe and an effective vaccine that could help save lives was the infusion of hope that we really needed at that time after struggling with this pandemic for almost 11 months. Today, I'd like to be celebrating the incredible work that's gone into getting more than 3.5 million Hoosiers fully vaccinated against this disease and getting boosters in the arms of more than 1.3 million of those individuals. Those are remarkable achievements made possible only by the tireless dedication of researchers, public health workers, the Indiana National Guard, and our healthcare workers across the state. Unfortunately, COVID-19 is determined to keep us on our toes, and we once again are facing a very bleak situation with this pandemic. Our COVID-19 hospital census is at the highest level in an entire year. The number of people hospitalized with COVID has increased more than 700% since late June. Our healthcare workforce is depleted physically and mentally, as are our public health workers. Cases are on the rise, and we're seeing a larger proportion of cases in people age 40 and under compared to this time last year. Cases among children ages 9 and younger have increased from 3% to 10% of cases. Fortunately, we're not seeing higher hospitalization rates in our past data, but again, remember that data lags by a couple of weeks. School cases have also increased before the winter break to some of the highest levels that we have seen in months. As a result, our positivity rate is once again hovering around 14% after falling to 6% in October. All of our counties are in orange or red advisory level, which indicates high activity. Cases in our long-term care, which had been decreasing as residents and staff got vaccinated, have nearly doubled since August. We've been seeing about 1,000 cases in the month of November and December, and recently had 400 cases in less than 1 week. The pendulum has also shifted as residents' immunity has waned and more staff have become vaccinated. More of the cases we are seeing now are occurring in residents instead of staff. We hope to see this improve quickly as facilities complete their booster doses. More than 700 facilities out of approximately 750 have notified us that they have completed their booster clinics, and about 24 others are working to schedule theirs. To further complicate the situation, we are dealing with a shortage of rapid tests. We supply rapid tests such as Abbott's Bionex Now test to local health departments, our own mobile and IMS site, along with entities that include long-term care facilities, schools, and jails. Each week, those sites go through an average of about 50,000 rapid tests. Due to the national shortage, we are only guaranteed to receive about 11,000 Bionex Now tests a week right now. We are actively looking for other sources of rapid tests and have been able to acquire just over 10,000 Quidel QuickVue tests. But at this time, we have no guarantees of our future supply beyond the 11,000 Bionex Now tests that Abbott has promised us each week. This is a national problem, not just an Indiana issue, and it's making it more difficult for Hoosiers to find rapid testing when they need it. That, in turn, has led to overwhelming demand at sites like IMS, where people are lining up an hour before testing opens. And now, the Omicron variant has arrived, bringing with it a number of new challenges in terms of how easily it is spread. Our first COVID-19 case involving the Omicron variant was detected 11 days ago. This was not a surprise because Indiana was one of only a handful of states that had not yet detected the new variant. The CDC is reporting that 22.5% of samples it has received the week of December the 18th were Omicron variant, and it is even higher in some parts of the country. Omicron cases are doubling in some cities, including Chicago, every 2 to 3 days. We identify the presence of variants through a process called sequencing. This is done by identifying positive cases that have a key marker for Omicron called an S gene dropout and performing further analysis to that specimen to determine whether it is Omicron. Our IDOH lab is sequencing all positive cases that have an S gene marker, and we are updating the percentage of Omicron cases on our dashboard. At this time, Delta remains the predominant variant in Indiana, but we expect that that will shift quickly. Omicron is very easily transmitted and infects and multiplies 70 times faster in the major airways of the lungs of an infected individual. So people infected with Omicron have a lot more virus in their throats, waiting to be expelled when they exhale or they cough or sneeze. The CDC expects that everyone with Omicron infection can spread the virus to others, even if they do not have symptoms or are vaccinated. This situation will get worse before it improves. Based on data from other countries who are further along in their Omicron surge, we expect to see a very steep rise in cases over the next several weeks. We are throwing every resource we have at this. In partnership with the Indiana National Guard, we have deployed 6-person teams consisting of 2 medics and 4 general support personnel to nearly 24 hospitals across the state. These teams are deployed in 2-week increments to help ease staffing issues while hospitals work on long-term solutions, and they can be extended an additional 2 weeks if needed. Right now, most hospitals are requesting that 2-week extension. We've been working diligently to identify additional sources of rapid tests. We've extended our testing and vaccination clinic at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway until January 22nd. Since November 30th, the team at IMS has administered more than 13,000 vaccines and performed more than 10,000 tests. More than one-third of those tests have occurred in this past week. In the last 2 days, the team at IMS has done more than 1,500 tests and nearly 1,000 vaccinations. This is an incredibly high volume for an eight-hour period. On Monday alone, we saw a 28% positivity rate among our rapid tests. These data show clearly that we are seeing higher levels of transmission across our state. After seeing the high demand at the IMS, we have added testing appointments for the site and are strongly encouraging people to make an appointment and complete their registration ahead of time. This allows us to move people through the line faster because we do not have to take time on site to register individuals. Even if you do not have an appointment, be prepared to wait. If you do have an appointment, be prepared to wait. The team is working as quickly and efficiently as possible, and your patience is much appreciated. Due to the holiday this weekend, we'll be open from 4 to 8 p.m. today and then resume operations on Tuesday at 4. Our January schedule will be 4 to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 8 to noon on Saturdays. This allows our team to restock supplies on Mondays. We have more than 650 testing sites across the state, and I want to continue to encourage people to look for testing options in their community. You can find these sites listed on the testing map at coronavirus.in.gov. Due to the national shortage of BioNTech Now tests, you may need to get a PCR test. This does take a little longer to process, but it is the most accurate test available. Our labs are working diligently to provide these results within 24 to 48 hours. If you are symptomatic, please self-isolate at home until you can get a test. In addition to the state's effort, the federal government has provided a 20-person Navy team to support operations at IU Methodist Hospital. As we meet the latest COVID-19 challenge, there is also good news regarding quarantine and isolation. The CDC has updated its guidance for isolation and quarantine for people who test positive with COVID-19 or who are exposed to the virus. These changes shorten the times most people will need to spend in isolation and quarantine from 10 days to 5 days. These changes are based on the fact that science has found that most transmission of the virus that causes COVID occurs early in the illness, typically 1 to 2 days before symptoms develop and in the 2 to 3 days after symptoms develop. Based on this information, the CDC states that positive individuals who do not have symptoms or whose symptoms are resolving can leave isolation after 5 days, so long as they continue to mask for 5 additional days to reduce their chance of infecting others. We do know that asymptomatic people who test positive can still transmit the disease, so adhering to the mask guidance is critical to prevent further spread of COVID-19. The CDC also has updated its recommended quarantine period for people who have been exposed to COVID-19. These are for close contacts. If you are unvaccinated or more than 6 months out from your second Pfizer or Moderna shot or 2 months from your J&J vaccine and you have not yet received a booster, the CDC recommends that you quarantine for 5 days and then follow strict mask use for an additional 5 days if you're asymptomatic. Individuals who have received their booster shot do not need to quarantine following an exposure, but they should wear a mask for 10 days after the exposure. The CDC also continues to recommend that people who are exposed get a COVID test on day 5 after their exposure if it's available. If symptoms occur at any time, individuals should immediately quarantine until they receive a negative COVID test. This new guidance applies to the general public. It does not apply to congregate living settings like long-term care facilities, the Department of Corrections, jails, or to early childhood education. The CDC plans to update its guidance for those settings in the near future. This guidance also does not supersede the recent healthcare worker guidance that was released last week. That guidance allows for healthcare workers who test positive but have no symptoms to return to work after 7 days with a negative test. It also states that exposed healthcare workers who are fully vaccinated, including a booster dose, do not need to quarantine at home. There is no new guidance from the CDC at this time for K-12 schools. We will be working to incorporate this new general guidance into our school recommendations. I want to emphasize that the ability to reduce isolation and quarantine depends on people remaining asymptomatic and wearing masks diligently for the additional 5 days. If you develop symptoms at any time during those 10 days, you need to get tested and avoid interaction with others until you have your results. As the Omicron variant sweeps across the U.S., it is more important than ever that people use the tools available to reduce the spread of COVID-19. We have those tools in ample supply. Masks, hand hygiene, staying home if you're sick, and getting vaccinated and boosted. Wear a surgical mask or even a K95 if you can, because they provide better protection against Omicron than a cloth mask. We need your help to ensure that we all use all of these tools diligently. I want to thank all Hoosiers who got tested before gathering with family over the holidays. I know many people had their Christmas plans derailed when their tests came back positive. But by testing beforehand, you helped prevent additional cases, and you have ensured that your loved ones will be around to help celebrate holidays in the future.